Welcome to the Institute for Digital Transformation's Digital Dialogue podcast. In this episode, we bring you a thought-provoking discussion featuring experts tackling the pressing challenges reshaping the business world. Listen as they delve into practical solutions and strategic insights that leaders can leverage to excel in today's rapidly evolving digital landscape. Enjoy this engaging dialogue designed to inspire innovation and equip you with tools for transformative leadership in the digital age. Let's dive into the conversation that's driving the future of business.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Digital Dialogue here with Hans Gillier in Stockholm, Sweden. And I am part of the Institute for Digital Transformation. So this is a live session on LinkedIn to discuss a few topics about how to utilize the digital transformation. So welcome to this digital dialogue where we probe into how to utilize the manifesto in the best possible way. And to my pal, I got a couple of nice friends and fellows. We have Chi. We have Randall and we have Michael, and I hope they have a chance a little bit to introduce themselves for the audience. I guess we come back with that later to hold the suspense there about who is the guests here. But a little bit about the background here. A couple of years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, the Institute actually started talking about how to define what digital transformation actually is. And we put together a work group for this and developed 8 different tenets about what defines digital transformation. And before that, we believed that digital transformation meant everything and nothing. And therefore, it was important for all practitioners of digital transformation to actually have something as a foundation for their work. What is digital transformation in that sense? It was launched in May 2022, and over 70 professionals in digital transformation have been ratified. That's all. Today's discussion is going to be on how to utilize the stuff already done to make new. And that is something that the digital transformation and it's been hooked on the last few months to going. So what we have done here is actually the purpose of this is to accelerate usage of the skills and do something different. And how it can help you in the daily life to build success. And it's an open community. And it's open competition. It's long to sharing stories. Experience in this engine, we will flip the pieces of this and we think of thousands on many updates. So, we started this work group a couple of weeks ago and starting to build a foundation of what it actually means and how we're going to answer that. But there's a lot of questions that we still need to answer, and I hope this live session, Digital Dialogue, will give us some answers to our questions. So for that reason, I invite the rest of the team, hopefully, and they can probably give a little bit of introduction to themselves, and then we will start the discussion of these discussion points. I'm not fully aligned with the script here, but I think that we are having fun, so I will continue with these discussion points. Definitely. And so what we'll look into are a number of questions that we have identified in the worker itself on how this we can be successful with this manifesto itself. So how to launch this manifesto in the current media landscape? What are the targets? Who needs to use this? I would like to use the manifesto to do the work. And that helps to do better work with our clients and in our organization. How to engage digital transformation practitioners in using the manifesto. Should a manifesto be a basis for certifications, individuals, organization? That is a question that's come up in our discussion. What kind of information artifacts should we provide to the practitioners? we would like tools and services to assess organizations' compliance with the manifesto in some. So these are the questions that we want to discuss in this live session in a digital dialogue. But first, it's time to introduce now, once and for all, the colleagues of the Digital Transformation Worker. So we have Chi, we have Randall, and we have Michael online as well. Thank you for joining.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, Hans. Hello, Hans. Thank you.
Hello, hello. Yes, definitely. Thank you so much for joining this live session, the Digital Dialogue. And we very much appreciate your experience and engagement here about the manifesto itself. Can you say something about yourself very quickly to the audience?
Should I start?
Yes, please, Chi. Chi, start.
Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Chido Ziofebo. I'm a digital strategy and product manager with a software company in Nigeria, in Lagos, Nigeria. We provide enterprise applications to B2B companies, essentially manage digital transformation for large organizations within Nigeria and across Africa, primarily within the financial services space. And I've been doing that for over 12 years. I think that's pretty much it. We're able to do quite a lot of solutions in that space. Thank you.
Michael?
Yeah, hi. I'm Michael Rulfo. I'm an enterprise architect in the office of the CIO in United Health Group. I support the United Healthcare business. And essentially, in my role, I live and breathe digital transformation 5 days a week. So I work in large blue chip projects for the CIO office. So these days, digital transformation is very, very popular, as evidenced by having this conversation, right? So a large part of my enterprise portfolio is overseeing these digital transformation projects. Thank you for having me on this panel. I've been looking forward to it.
Yes. And Randall, what can you say about the job?
Yeah, I mean, it's great to be here, Hans. My name is Randall. I have more than 15 years of audit and advisory experience. And you know what? What's interesting about myself is eat digital transformation.
That's all right. So I have someone in for breakfast and someone's living in financial. That's brilliant. So how do you feel about this manifesto itself? How would you like to use it? How do we reach an audience with that? Do you have any thoughts and ideas? Chi, what are your thoughts?
Okay. Thank you, Hans. Well, digital transformation, we have this tendency to assume it's strictly technology, but it goes beyond technology. You're looking at business processes, you're looking at people, culture, you're looking at an ecosystem that combines data, that combines business applications, whether new, whether existing or expected. You're looking at architectures. So all this, for a typical, where this manifesto comes in, is that how do you want to talk about these domain areas that impact on digital transformation? We're talking about the people, what kind of skill sets do people want to champion digital transformation they need to have? What kind of, what scope of knowledge do they need to have? How do you want to architect a typical solution, that probably addresses digital transformation? What environment do you want to do in terms of security? How would the environment be? What the ecosystem? Are you looking at a cloud infrastructure? So how can you essentially, what is future proof when it comes to the concept of digital transformation that doesn't require you to do change management at the same time, without having to impact negatively on the business? So there are areas where you might need to improve. You have areas where you might need to actually create entirely new things, for digital transformation to. I look at it from two perspectives. You either improving efficiency for your internal customers, or you are enhancing experience for your external customers. So that's the two buckets I want to look at, how the manifesto will have to address those two areas.
Thank you. But Michael, if we continue there, how would you use the manifesto in your daily life? How would you use it together with a customer or an organization?
I really like what's written so far in the drafts that I read of the manifesto. So first and foremost, and I think there's a lot of potential there. But the way I'd like to see it used is really to shape the thought leadership in the way that the organization thinks about digital transformation, mm-hmm. right? So much in the same way, because I really think the value, or not the only value, but I think one of the biggest values that the manifesto can provide a practitioner, such as myself, operating at an enterprise level, is to really shape, provide a framework that will shape the thinking at the high strategic level, chiefly at the C level, much like what the institutes that already exist in healthcare today. So I operate in the healthcare industry. So there's a lot of prominent research institutions that do a lot of publishing, and they produce a lot of papers. And those papers are often cited in strategic dialogues that I have with the leadership in my organization. So, for example, one of the things that I noticed when reading this draft of the manifesto was that the way it defined digital transformation in terms of like a triple aim, right? So, which is social impact, economic impact, environmental impact. I think that is one of the most valuable things that the manifesto offers, because it provides a practitioner like myself a starting point, a foundation in which we can start engaging different leaders within the organization, whether they're in the technology side or whether they're on the business side. So that's the most important thing to me.
Brilliant, brilliant conclusions. Randall, how would we somehow attract leaders and C-level people to understand the manifesto and live it? You eat it 5 days a week. So how do we get leaders to do the same thing?
Well, first and foremost, the reason why the manifesto is here is for us to be guided accordingly. And who doesn't want a piece of a pizza, wherein by 2025, we will have a $3.29 trillion worth of digital transformation market. So it's really important, for us to be thinking about how we can use the manifesto in such a way that it's not only, based on its financial, reward, but also to be able for us to grow in the market.
Definitely. Thank you so much for that. You're absolutely spot on that. Digitalization is going to change the society and market quite rapidly in the next couple of years. And it's a matter of staying relevant or staying competitive. And Chi, if I ask you the question, how should we certify companies in using the manifesto or be compliant to the principles? Is that a way forward?
Okay. So I think it can be a balance of the two of them. I would say this because an individual cannot actually champion a digital transformation alone. It has to be led, like Michael said, it requires engagement with leaders. And these leaders rely on quite a lot of infrastructure within an organization. You have your IT, so there's so many players in it. And so it won't be fair, it won't be something that you would tie to an individual. While it's important an individual has a role to play in a digital transformation within an enterprise or within any ecosystem, there's a role where the organization plays. I think so it has to be a mixture of the two. And like I said in my opening statement, it's important that you how does the manifesto address, the core areas that drive, digital transformation, how in terms of the people, in terms of business processes, in terms of the data, how do you want to certify people, how they manage their data, how they manage their architecture, all this big, and essentially together. So there has to be a balance of the two, the people and the organization itself. Across those domains.
Yeah, excellent point. I mean, I think so too, that it's a mix between the individuals and the organization as well. What we see the companies or consultants with certification, digital transformation in some way, are most likely to win government documents or awards. Did that be the case here as well? Should we try to?
It plays a role. Let's take ISO certification, for example. It has a way of, improving the value of an organization, whether you like it. So given that we are in the age where more and more businesses want to adopt digital transformation, it's important that you want to see, though, these organizations, that they have the repertoire to meet my digital organization demands. What, so do they meet certain requirements? That do I, am I going to see myself in the future, you know, with them, being that they are very conscious about digital transformation, meaning that, which will also entail meaning that they are future-proof in their business and their continuity of that business. So it plays a role. Yeah, it's very important to add value to an organization generally.
We get questions here and comments to our live feed here now, and one of them is about the business side versus technical side of this discussion. Can you share a little bit your thoughts on ideas on this?
Sure. So before, during our primitive stage or era, you know, we used to have a separate perspective of business and tech, wherein tech is actually a support for the business. Mm. Now it is imperative that tech should be embedded as part of the business. And in fact, they are becoming now an enabler for the company to promote its innovation and growth. If you're not going to put technology as an enabler for the business, then you may be left behind by, you know, by means of market share. Or if you are planning to create your own market, we call it Blue Ocean Strategy, technology is a must for a company.
Excellent. I mean, we have so many good ideas here and thoughts about what systems can be used. How do we actually bring that back to the working group? How can we, as a manifested working group, make this a reality? How can we build engagement in the community in this area? Michael, do you have any thoughts and ideas on how to make this come alive?
Yeah, you know, I think it's important for the manifesto to come alive, and you know, to, you know, first and foremost, we need to start publishing the thought leadership. So getting out there, just getting it out, circulating, getting the ideas to circulate. I think that's really, really important. I've seen institutes of all stripes do it quite effectively. As I mentioned in my, you know, my previous response, right? I think it's important to provide that thought leadership so leaders can individually read it, understand it, digest it, use it for their frameworks, and then it'll help shape the thought leadership. So that's one of the things that I think can do, that I think is essential. The other thing is going out and having and hosting conferences around digital transformation to build community. I think that's an important aspect of the equation to get both the engagement. I think there's no replacing that, even though, you know, with the pandemic, we saw a lot of conferences move to virtual mode. I still think there's nothing better than an in-person interaction. So I think the hybrid model that we're seeing now evolve and materialize throughout the world is going to remain popular. So I think that's really, really important. The other thing too is I think we need to figure out ways to attract the media attention, right? So we need to get that, because that'll help us really broadcast our message as an institute, get the recognition, and then get people interested in engaging with the institute, whether that's through the online, just, you know, downloading the documentation and research, or attending the conferences, and hopefully to get the certifications as well.
Yeah. Do we actually need more certifications? We got a question here from Alex. Do we need more certifications? Is this day and age? We have, you know, for every sort of practice, there are certifications. Do we need something more? What do you think, Michael, or anyone who want to jump in here?
You know, like we in the like live, you know, I'm obviously biased because I'm in the tech industry, right? So we live in and breathe the certification sort of culture. So, but I think even beyond the tech sector, showing sort of the proof that you studied a body of work and that you understand it and you believe in it, I think that's always important.
Excellent. Randall or Chi, do you want to jump in?
Okay,
go ahead, Randall.
Sorry. Yeah, from my perspective, if we are planning to have this certification, we have to first think about, you know, who our major stakeholders are. So if we are going to use the certification, let's say for compliance purposes, for, you know, stakeholders who want to check us on how we innovate and grow our company, then that could be a good testament that you're doing something for your company.
Great. Ajit, do you want to add something to that? How do you think it can be used?
What I would say is, one of the ways it could benefit, where its education might come in, will be in there might be artifacts that will be created that can be reusable, you know, where organizations can actually compile templates and they're reusable. So we have a sense where, because we're going to create an ecosystem whereby you're going to integrate with technologies, you're going to integrate with people. So it's going to be a general benefit to the ecosystem where we have a standard, some sort of like a standard where everybody is used to. It will help reduce change management, you know, within among organizations or within a sector, as the case may be. So it will play a role, but I get the resistance, you know, for more certification within the system, you know, but it comes with a value, and being that it's a future oriented objective, I think it will really help too.
Great answers. I mean, for the audience, if you have any comments on this pro or con certification, please raise your voice there. Excellent. Another question is that, I mean, there are a number of these communities, such as Agile, the Manifesto, there's BSN. What can we learn from these manifestos or how they have implemented them? Michael, do you have any thoughts about that? What did they do that was successful?
Yeah, so, you know, the way I like to answer that, it's all about helping organizations reach sort of that for a more advanced level or phase of maturity, right? So I saw a question coming out from the audience. I think it was Ravi, I don't remember the last name, about, you know, we have all kinds of technology and transformation. Do we actually need more technology to be brought in transformation? And you talk about the definition of transformation. So the way I'd like to respond to that, which relates to your question, Hans, about, you know, how can we use the manifesto to be, you know, help organizations be more successful, is use technology as sort of the way to get organizations to mature faster, right? Move them down the continuum, right? Because it's all about that. So my favorite story about that is with digital transformation, actually, because I've been in industry over 23 years, right? So 15 years ago, when cloud started getting really, really popular, everybody, you'd go in an organization and everybody wanted cloud, right? So it's a lot like going out and getting a beer with your friends, right? Everybody wanted it. It feels good to drink it. And the worst like negative downside you're going to get is a hangover the next day, right? So everybody's drinking all this beer, doing all the cloud transformation as part of their digital transformation, right? Well, fast forward 10 years later, and now it's like, oh my God, you know, this is not working out as we thought, right? So it's more like transformation in that stage is more like getting a puppy, right? You go to a vet, you go to a shelter and say, I need a puppy because, you know, in COVID, everybody wanted that companion. And then you get it and you have fun with the puppy. Everybody loves the puppy, right? But then the puppy starts to pee, right? And then starts doing other things inside the house that you don't want. And you realize, oh my God, I can't go back and bring this puppy back to the vet because I got to live with it. I own this puppy. So now you get to the next stage of maturity and realize I got to start training this puppy. And it's got in order because I got to live with it forever and ever. And that's sort of the stage of maturity that you want to get with any kind of transformation, especially digital, because of the way the transformation process has evolved.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's absolutely a good point. That I think that's the main of the purposes for why we actually start to draft the manifesto itself, because we saw that it was so many different interpretation of what digital transformation actually was. And if you were actually saying that they were going to do digital transformation, they never knew what they were going to get. Yeah, so I think it's absolutely brilliant idea as well. Gee, do we need some sort of a maturity model for this, like CMMI or something like that, to measure level of maturity in this area? What do you think? All to Randall's though, instead. I think Randall, do you think we need a maturity model for this, like an index grade 1 through 5 about the level of maturity in digital transformation?
I would say it's a it's a aesthetic tool that we can use to demonstrate how mature we are in terms of digital transformation, but it's not absolutely necessary, I would say. And then just covering the compliance side of things, you may easily tend to remember what digital transformation is, right? But we don't have a current mechanism in place on how we actually get some reasonable assurance that the digital transformation is working as intended. And so I will not be surprised, by 5 years or 10 years from now, we're going to have a compliance, sector who will focus on digital transformation, including emerging technologies.
Yeah, excellent. No, I believe that as well. That's a beautiful point. Chi, welcome back. I think you're frozen there for a minute. Do you think that consultancy firms would the maturity scores here, high maturity in their work, that will benefit them in some way on the market or in business?
Well, even today, we see organizations, when you look at the technology model, whatever cloud maturity model, for example. You have managers who are very limited, who are not really, there in the cloud per se. You have people who are using it at a very minimal level. You have people who are all cloud first, in their solution provision. So we're still in an environment where it's about where I see how maturity index will look will also require from the digital transformation. You might have a maturity model in terms of your people. It might speak to certain expectations of where people come in. You might have a maturity model when it comes in terms of your processes or your architecture or your enterprise applications. So all this would really, it might not be one foolproof, but you might have, each domain might have its own maturity model where you measure up to see and you rank based on collectively where you stand at that digital transformation level.
What would a maturing model be maybe more? Would it be a better approach than having a certification? I mean, you get comments here that certification tends to lose its meaning and value over time. Should we focus on maturity models instead of certifications?
Mm-hmm.
Michael? Michael?
Go ahead, Michael.
Oh, thank you. I think, I mean, you can't get around not having a dialogue around the maturity models when you're talking about certification, right? I think it's going to be one of the areas that is going to be involved in the conversation. I still fundamentally believe in the value of a certification, but with the caveat that we include an assessment about the maturity of the organization, right? So like much like CMMI, I think that was one of the things that Randall mentioned, right? And Chi mentioned that as well. I think that has a lot of value in the context of digital transformation because there's that natural evolution of the organization that occurs as they take on these large transformation projects, right? Because every organization is different because it's made up by people. And people evolve and intake change differently at different rates, different motivations. So I think a maturity model is an excellent way to sort of provide a benchmark of the organization and give the organization an idea where they're actually at, and then say, okay, you're at level one in our maturity model. These are the steps to get to level two. So it also enables you to have that conversation and it provides that important starting point. And so that's why I think it has a lot of value. And a certification is sort of a formalized way to get that process going.
Yes, excellent. We just wanted to one more question here. We have 5 more minutes to go. And so, I think we had a question about clients. Can you give your thoughts about that before we start to wrap up this session?
Yep. Well, one of the things that we discussed with digital transformation manifesto is more on, you know, customer centric. So, you know, whether it's customer or whether we have partnerships with other companies, we have the responsibility to give, you know, reassurance that this particular disruption in the business is actually giving us benefits rather than, you know, problems or intricacies, right? And so, you know, we are actually bound later on by, you know, any existing law prohibitions. Let's say, for example, the Sarbanes-Oxley Act later on, that, you know, a major or significant change in the company need to be reflected as part of your financial statements, specifically notes or disclosures to financial statements. And therefore, we are still bound to meet these compliance requirements for digital transformation, but not necessarily on its own intricacies. Again, it's now riding on other compliance provisions such as Sarbanes-Oxley.
Excellent, Ranulf. Thank you so much for your response there. That was the final questions for this live session, Digital Dialogue. Thank you so much. Hello, Cornjaw. And it is Ranulf. And I hope to see you so much more in the future when in the work. And to the audience, we really want to invite you as well to the work. Joining our work to make the manifesto, right? I think there will be a short S. There we have an email address as well. So please join us and then make this come alive. We will, as we talked about, we'll probably look into the maturity model and gather a lot of stories, war stories, and other experience. And thank you so much for joining. And I hope that you will be joining the next session here called Dialogue, where we talk with experts in the field of digital transformation and share their thoughts and ideas. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Hans. Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Digital Dialogue. New episodes premiere most Tuesdays at noon Eastern Time, live on LinkedIn. You can find upcoming events on the Institute's LinkedIn event page. If you missed the live session, catch the replay anytime on our YouTube channel or listen on your favorite podcast platform. Stay connected and join us again for more insights and inspiration.